Since you are biblically astute and been taught by one of the best teachers there is, you know that Matthew 5 continues and contains the Sermon on the Mount, not the Sermon on the Mount, but the Sermon on the Mount. And as part of this, we're going to read that Christ has told us that we are the salt of the earth, we are the light of the world, and we want to determine a little bit about what that means. Please understand me as we begin. This is not about an additional duty that God heaps on our lives, another ritual, another set of rules, another set of regulations. No, this is a product of the Spirit of God using us to glorify Christ, to be His ambassadors, to represent Christ to a world that so desperately needs Him and His forgiveness. Amen? So I'm going to invite you, rather than scribbling today, because I can't stop once I start. I can't stop and say, would you fill this in? That's not my style. Once I go, I go. And so that, yes, and that's just the way I am. For those of you who are scared of that, I apologize ahead of time. I won't scare you, though. So let's read this with our most articulate English. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do a people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And now with great boldness, turn to your neighbor and say, you are the light of the world. Can you do that? Some of you are not doing it. Turn that light on. Let's pray. Father, what a glorious morning we have to praise, worship, brag on you. Enjoy your presence. Let the Spirit of God fill our lives, fill this room. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For you are the awesome and the mighty God. And we gather to exalt and magnify your glorious name. Thank you that you, by your grace, would walk up and down these aisles, touching your people, changing their hearts, encouraging the brokenhearted, binding up their wounds. And Father God, through your grace and through the power of your Holy Spirit, being our teacher, guide us into all truth, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. So this is very important. I want you to understand this as we begin, that you and I, let us remember that when we go into this world, and in a few minutes, we're going to exit the doors here, then we're going to go out into the mission field. And I want you to know that even though the world is growing darker and there are a lot of things that really are very injurious to the human spirit, and we'll talk about some of those and how to handle it. Yet you are the one that God has called to penetrate the darkness. God does not have a plan B or C. You're it. You are the ones. And it is imperative that you and I recognize first and foremost who we are in Jesus Christ. You are the salt of the earth. God has called you by name. Let us remember that as we go into the darkness, we go in a position of victory. Victory, victory is our cry. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. And Brandy, you're a cheerleader. You should have been up here leading us. Victory. We are the people of victory. We are the winning side. We need to live like that. We need to act like that. We need to speak like that. We need to face it, the world like that. You are Christ's victory. He's given it to you. He's placed it in your life. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Well, I think we're going to win. I don't know. But thanks be to God who gives us the
victory.
You are victorious in Jesus Christ. And by God's grace, God wants you to live in that way, with that attitude, with that mindset, with that conviction, with that assurance. Thanks be to God. And then Ephesians 1:3, also he has placed you who are in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. God has put the Holy Spirit of the living God within you. He has given you gifts of the Holy Spirit. He has, by his grace, empowered you to serve, to know, to honor him, to brag on Jesus Christ. And by God's grace, if that's not enough, he has brought forth the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance into your life, so that you, as you go into the places that God has assigned to you, you will exude and exhibit the Spirit of God. I'm going to give you a 30-second lesson on identifying the gifts that you have, because that is a prevalent question. As you involve yourself in ministry, as you actually start doing what Christ tells you to do and serve others, dying to self, then what you will do is uncover and discover God's gift in your life. But you've got to take a step out. You've got to walk out in faith. Somebody say amen. That's how it works. You'll never, ever, 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 ever discover it if you don't involve yourself and move forward in the Spirit of the living God. He said, he has, it's past tense. God has given you everything you need for life. You already possess everything you need to be everything God desires. You have the total package. You just have to access it by the power of the Spirit and walk in obedience. You've got it. You see these people who ostensibly moving in the Spirit, you say, well, where did they get that? They simply believe and trust that God has called them to do what he's called them to do, and they went and actually did it. All of us have that great potential in our lives. God's power is very great for us who believe. That power is the same power as the great strength God used to raise him from the dead. So walking in God's truth, if you really believe this, you will become a person that will say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not going to let the world intimidate me. I don't care how dark it is. I don't care how the wolves come out and start hissing and barking on social media and on whatever else platforms there are and on television. And I'm not going to allow myself to come and be depressed and defeated, because Jesus Christ wins in the end. He is going to bring it to fruition. He's going to be at completion. And you are on the winning side. I say again, act like it. Live like it. Move and have your being in it, in Jesus' name. I can, through the power of the Spirit, through God's presence in my life, do all things who through Christ who strengthens me. I'm doing a little here. How do we do it? Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. Here's the deal. Agree or disagree, doesn't matter to me. You have as much of the Spirit of God as you want. For some reason, the Church of Jesus Christ today, unlike the church for 20 centuries, scared to death of God's Spirit. Well, what is there to be scared of? It's the presence of Christ within us. It is the Spirit of God that teaches us. It is the Spirit of God that assures us of our salvation. It is the Spirit of God that pours out the love of God in our hearts. It is the Spirit of God that gives us gifts. It is the Spirit of God that guides, leads, directs us. It is the Spirit of God that uncovers his purpose and plan for our lives. Why on earth do we resist him so? I'll tell you why. You know I'm going to tell you. It's because people are so scared that somehow Christ is going to make you, through the Spirit, a fanatic. Well, look at the fanatics that are taking over the world. Now, they're calling it normality. We are the peculiar people. We are those who have Christ. We are those who have the power of God. Why not use it for God's glory, for God's power? Brag on Jesus. So he said, well, I'm not so sure about that. The Holy Spirit gives us and provides for us strength. And let me tell you what Satan does, because Satan knows that. Church doesn't know it very well, but he does. So June 20th was our 56th wedding anniversary. I'm not asking you to come up after the service and say, Pastor Ray, you don't even look 56 years old. I understand. I get it. So here's the deal. So ushers and groomsmen and all of that, we were staying in a small junior college there in New England. It was really isolated in the woods, etc. So I woke up on June 20th, 56 years ago, and I went outside, you know, just a gorgeous day, and I looked and all my tires were flat. So I'm 10 to 15 miles away from the church. So this song, I'm getting married in the morning. Ding dong, the bells are gonna chime. There was no chiming. There was a problem, just like we all have problems. So what do we do? So there was no filling station, gas station, or anything of that nature nearby. So what we did is I found a hand pump. Can you imagine trying to pump up? We put up just that much air in the tires so that we wouldn't destroy. And on we went. So here's my point. Why I say every morning, ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, is because Satan deflates us. Satan, by his lies, his doubts, his anger, bringing misunderstanding into our hearts and our minds, he's like those little termites that eat the wooden frames of the houses, particularly here in Florida. Just nibbles, nibbles, nibbles your courage, nibbles your confidence, nibbles and nibbles away. But here's what God says. Resist the devil. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Why is that so? Well, it's pretty simple. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, but you have to employ that truth and to stand firm and see the salvation of our God and lift up the armor. You know what the armor of God is? Some say yes, some say no. This side doesn't know, so I'm going to talk to them. The helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, girdle of truth, preparation of the gospel of peace upon your feet, lifting up the shield of faith by which we extinguish the fiery darts, the lies of the devil, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then pray without ceasing. We leave that off. And in everything, do what? Give thanks to God. We've got it, folks. You're going into battle, but God has not left you without protection, without power. Greater is he. We are the overcomers of the world. And if you want to get up and spike your Bible, you can do that, because it is the absolute truth. The battle in America, and there are many, and I'm going to mention some of them, is this. The battle is for this. The battle is for the Word of God, and unfortunately, I say this with great sadness, many churches, even the evangelical church, is walking away from its truth. You see, what we this is objective reality. This is the way in which God has called us to live, to view, understand, and to interpret life. We are now interpreting life in a very, very different and wrongful way, and I'm going to share that with you in a moment. You've got to know the Word of God if you want to walk in the truth, if you want to speak the truth, if you want to be effective by God's grace. You've got to know the Word of God. Well, George, you know, I like to stay up late at night. I like those late night shows. And I just can't get up early in the morning. And then when I get up in the morning, there's just so many things to do. I just don't have the time. I can't do it. And then I say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Day by day, hour by hour, I am kept by His power. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Now, you'll forget everything I've said, but you'll remember that song. So, you are the salt of the earth. Quickly, as the salt of the earth, be distinctive. The Word of God says in some of the versions that those who are Christ followers, those who follow God, they are a peculiar people. And some of you are more peculiar than others. Yeah. And that's okay. Children long fight, go through extremes in their dress and their behavior to be accepted by the crowd. And what happens is, as we grow to be adults, unfortunately, that same mentality grips our thinking. And so what we end up doing is, we want to be so accepted by people, we don't want to offend people. Well, quite frankly, the Word of God is offensive. But it's not demeaning. It's not derogatory. It's not defeating. It tells us our true condition, that we need a Savior. We need a Lord. We need to be forgiven. We can be set free. We can be transformed. We can walk in love. Those habits, hang-ups, and hurts that pulled us down, they can change. Because if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How is that working in your life? How is that working in your life? I like feedback. I don't know whether you're listening or not. You see, you should be able to look back on your life and say, yeah, you know, I used to be the meanest man on earth. I used to be a lawyer. I was not, most lawyers are nice people. But I was a total jerk. I really was. I didn't even like myself. I refused to look at the mirror because I didn't even want to see myself, but that's who I was. But by the power of God's Spirit, He puts a whole new desire, a whole new understanding of people. And those that I constantly harangue, God gave me a love for them. Do not be conformed to this world, but be renewed. Where? Here's the battle. The battle's going on right now in some of your minds. Right now. It's in our minds. It's bringing every thought captive. It's whatsoever things are lovely, excellent, praiseworthy, noble, of a good report. Think about these things. This morning I absolutely refused, because generally Sunday mornings I do. I did not look at the news. I said, I can't go into that church with those godly people and have the news in the back of my mind. I just can't do it. I've got to dwell on the Bible. I got to read more and understand, because you see, I want to understand and interpret life through the lens of the Word of God. 10,000 people, it says, in a book, are the number that you will influence in your lifetime. 10,000 people. That's an average person like me. Most of you are above average, so you probably have a much wider sphere of influence. And so what does it mean? Salt changes everything it touches. Touch changes it. Likewise, believers are meant to help shape the world through Christ's likeness. That's what we're called to do. We are Christ's ambassadors. Concepts such as marriage, family, sexual restraint, sanctity of life, and objective truth serve as cultural anchors. That's what holds culture together. And they're disappearing. They've disappeared in Western Europe. It's gone. And it's rapidly disappearing here in America itself. And so we must, by God's grace, be willing to stand up. Joel ever sing that? I'm not going to sing it. Don't worry. This guy on the front row said, please don't sing that. I said, okay, I won't. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Just like that, Tim? Yeah. So some of you who are over 30, you know that. Okay. That's who we are. Stand firm, Paul says. And don't be frightened by what's happening in the world. As our dear, dear pastor says, things are not falling apart. They're coming together. And you are part of that process. You are of great value. You have great value. And most Christians say, well, I don't have anything to offer. That's the biggest lie from hell. You have the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the truth of God's word. You have the right way. You have the way to heaven. You know the way, the truth, and the life. Why not simply share it with others? Is it that hard? Somebody says, yes, it is. I keep looking at the clock because I have so much. I have to cut things out as I go. So when I was in New England, they would invite the pastors in our small community to come on graduation day and say a little prayer, blessing, etc. When it was my turn to do it, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals had made a ruling that there was no longer prayer to be held in graduation ceremonies. They called me Pastor Ray. You know me as Pastor George. I like to change names around. Actually, it's Pastor George Ray. Would you just come and just say a couple of nice words? I said, okay, I'll do that. So I said, Lord, what am I going to do? Now, this is serious. This is how the Holy Spirit leads you, because I am not a clever person. Many of you are. Many of you are creative. That's not in my gene pool. I just don't have it. So I have to rely heavily on the Holy Spirit. So I said, Lord, can you help me say something of value, even though I can't pray? So a couple of days later, the Lord said, go get a Susan B. Anthony silver dollar. I don't have one at home. I don't have a storehouse of them. I've never even seen one. And so I said, well, where on earth would I get a silver dollar? So, and God says, George, it's not that difficult. Go to the bank. And so I went to the bank, and I got one. And what is on the front? What is on the front of the silver dollar with Susan B. Anthony? All you coin collectors. In God we trust. Now, this guy got it right in the first service. I asked him to come back, and here we are. Give him a hand. We'll do. In God we trust, all others must pay cash. And the reality is our trust is in the living God. So now I've got my scripture. I've got my text. So I stood up there instead of a two-minute prayer, I preached 7 minutes and explained how America was developed. Talking about how we as a nation put our trust, our confidence, our hope in the living God, and he still is our only hope 250 years later. We must bring moral clarity because the world is in confusion and chaos. We have been given, and we desperately need it, the gift of discernment. What is discernment? Well, the ability to determine right from wrong, right? You would think that would be very easy today, but we are now living in the days of Isaiah the prophet. Woe to those who call wrong right and right wrong. That's the day we're in. And so there is great confusion, especially among our young people, because it is being sown on social media. It's been sown in schools. It's been sown on just constantly as they are online. We have to really be able to talk to our children, because what is right and what is wrong? Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. I don't care how old your children are. Well, my kids, they'd never stand for this. Well, who's the parent? I said, who is the parent? Is it the kids? Is it the kids? No. It's the adults in the house. Then read the Word of God. Well, I don't like that. I don't believe. Well, I don't care. As long as I'm paying the bills here and sending you to the zoo school, you are going to listen to the Word of God. Is that being mean or nasty? No. No. You're sowing life. L'chaim. You're sowing life. Well, you are also the light of the world. Jesus said, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. So here we go. Follow with me. Jesus did this on a beautiful, beautiful sloping hillside on the Sea of Galilee. And as he stood there on the West Bank, looked to the east, there is a very, very, very high ridge. Some would refer it to as the mountain, but it's just really an extraordinarily high ridge. It is called the Decapolis. Decapolis simply means 10 cities. You knew that. And so at nighttime, if you stand there where Jesus taught and you look across the way, what you'll do is you'll see the lights of those 10 cities penetrating the darkness. You couldn't miss it because it's unmistakably there. That's what God wants of you and me. Not to strive or to struggle or to have to do it, but let God's Spirit flow through us to be the light of the world. Not to be scared or frightened by people of this world, but to be strong in the might and the light of God. Be a Daniel. Be a David. God will give you courage even when you feel like you do not have the courage to stand there and to do it. So stand in Jesus, stand in the light, because Christ is most reflected in the unglamorous moments of life. And I'm going to talk just a moment. I'm trying to decide whether to share this with you or not. What's your name? Say again? Julie, because you ask, I'll do it. The rest of them, they really don't care. So I'm going to speak to you. So I'm in the most unglamorous place you could possibly be, Publix. And I'm standing in line. And if you know anything about me, my wife, she's here somewhere, would testify that even when I'm just normally living life, she'll say, sweetheart, are you in a hurry? Where are we going? And I said, I'm not in a hurry. She says, George, you need to settle down. Are you in a hurry? I said, no. So patience is not my strong suit. So I'm standing in line in Publix. This lady's in front of me. And she's, you know, putting this and that. Oh, I don't want that. Would you take it? No, I didn't mean to get that. She put it over there. Okay. She's digging into her purse and everything comes. It's like Mary Poppins purse, you know, and everything's just flying out. Finally, she gets a card, doesn't work, gets another card, doesn't work. Finally, puts in the third card. It works. She turns around and looks at me. She said, sir, I'm so sorry. I said, and God gave me a compassion for her I rarely have. I said, the peace of God be with you. Just be peaceful. And then she put her card in. The lady packed her groceries. She said, well, I want a cash back. And the lady said, well, how much do you want? Then the cashier says, I don't have any cash. So then she goes and she goes over to wherever they give cash out. I wish I knew. And she got the cash, brought it back to the lady. Well, I wanted all the cash in $5 bills. Okay. And so she goes and she gets it. She looks at me. She says, sir, I am so sorry. I said, peace. Just be at peace. Then she left and she accused me of something of which I have never been accused of in my life. You know what it was? She said, you are the most patient person I have ever met in my life. She wasn't telling the truth. So, quickly, have I shared, I'm looking for my wife, have I shared about Sinai yet? Okay. So, Trish and I have led 20 tours to Israel, and by God's grace, one of those tours, we went to Egypt first, then down to Mount Sinai. We got there at 3. I said, foolishly, let's just go climb it and we'll watch the sunset, go up and have a service and just enjoy the present, the blessing of God. I hired a Bedouin guide, 15 years old, and I did something very stupid, but I'll tell you what I did in a minute. So after we're finished, I got all the people together. It's pitch black. The sky is lit up with the to me, billions of stars in our Milky Way. And so then I said, where's the guide? After I had given him my flashlight, they said, he's gone. He's gone. He's gone. He's gone. So I said, okay, well, when treed by a bear, enjoy the view. And so what I did is I said, let's all organize here. I said, Trish and I will lead the way. We're going to go down a wadi. A wadi is nothing but a dry riverbed. Thousands of them litter the mountainsides and the deserts there in the Middle East. So if you go down, walk down a wadi, you're going down the mountain. All right? I will not sing She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain, although it's in my heart. So we went down. And about 25 minutes later, we saw quickly in the distance just the smallest light. So I turned around. I said, everybody follow me, because we had to exit the wadi. I moved towards the light about 10 yards from the object. I saw a Bedouin man sitting on a camel, which is not that unusual, smoking a camel. Not a real camel, but a camel, you know. The kind that used to kill you, but you've given up. So praise God. And so my point is this. It was the teeniest light that saved 25 people in the desert. Teeny. You see, you don't have to be a superstar. We don't need more celebrities. God help us. We need fewer of them. We just need men and women who will let their light shine. Let their light shine. And folks, I love you. You've been a great, great, great congregation. Maybe someday when I have 10 hours, I will share the rest of this with you. The quickest way to access, to elevate your spirit, is to praise God. To be like Paul and Silas in prison. Nothing was going right for them. Have you ever had those times in your life? But in order to elevate their spirit, they looked to the living God. And they praised God, and they prayed, and that influence spread throughout the prison. And others were listening to them because they were a different people. They were approaching this problem in a very different spirit. And great things happened. I'll show you what happened right quick. So as they're praising God, God's doing this. And all of a sudden, there's an earthquake. And the prison door shook. And by the grace of God, they were set free. But what did they do? Did they run out of prison? No, because their confidence was in God, and God did something greater. He saved the jailer. He saved his family. And then they were set free to go by the grace of God. Can you imagine what a little praising God might do in your life? I dare you. My final story. I was just speaking to that man back there. He's saying, would you hurry up? I said, yeah. Trish and I planted several churches in Eastern Europe. Spoke at one morning in this, just a little village church. This lady invited us over to her house. So we went in, and it was just a one room. The outhouse, of course, is out back. The furniture, she had a table, two chairs, and a bed, a stove, and a sink, and that's it. And so, by the grace of God, the Lord just prompted me, which was a good thing. I asked her, through an interpreter, she's about 82, 85 years of age, how was it when Ceausescu was the communist dictator? How did you live as a Christian? She said, well, and once again, this is through an interpreter, and I'm paraphrasing. She said, well, Pastor Ray, what I did is every Sunday morning, I used to go to a little Pentecostal church 5 miles away, and I'd pack my salami, my cheese, my bread, and a jug of water, and I'd walk the 5 miles. Oh, I said. I'd get there, we'd have a worship in those churches there in Romania. They're in for it. I mean, you go there, you're in for a good 3 hours, and then if you have strength, 5 hours, but by the grace of God, so they have those long morning services. She said, when I finished, I ate my lunch, I slept on the pew, waited for the evening service, then I walked home. Now, that's good in the spring and the summertime, but she said, in the winter, Pastor, she said, one night I was walking, the snow was deep, the moon was glinting on the snow, and all of a sudden out of the woods, and this is true even today, and we have people from Romania in here who can authenticate this. In the woods, a pack of wolves came out. And as she is walking, we'll say down here on the floor is where she's walking, the wolves snarling, spitting, growling, baring their teeth, threatening this little old lady. I said, well, what did you do? She said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they protect me. I said, oh, really? She says, really? I said, what happened? She said, they eventually ran away. I said, did you ever see them again? Oh, no. You see, God kept them from me because my heart was to worship him, and he needed me as a worshiper. So here's my point. I can make a lot of points, but this is I can't step in front of the pulpit because it's a rule here, so I'm trying to abide. I have 15 seconds. Here's the lesson. Do not let the world intimidate you. The Word of God says, I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. You have the King of Glory in your heart. He is your shield and your defender. Let no one intimidate you and try to quiet your testimony or your light or your salt. Be bold, be courageous, stand firm, for our God reigns. Time's up, George. Would you please stand? Father, this is such a strong group of believers in you. I'm simply going to pray that you would give them multiple opportunities to let your light shine in them, to be the salt of the earth, not with words of snarling or yelling or screaming or vulgarity, but simply through words of love and words of life, because, Lord, a loving word can break a bone. And I pray that you would bless them and they're going to see this, and that you're going to use them in such wonderful ways that they will have mighty testimonies. Encourage them in this. For God, you're crazy about your people, Calvary. You love them so. Let them go and manifest that love to a world that desperately needs it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
God bless you.